Welcome to Returning to Right Relationships, coming to you directly from the Horse Barn at Sequilly Center in the heart of the North Carolina foothill country. OCO, and welcome to part three of Returning to Right Relationships. This week our show is backed up by the music of Douglas Spotted Eagle. He's a Native American flutist, a good brother. Seen him before on the powwow circuit, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to enjoy the music. Okay, let me get Tecumseh put up here into his stall. We're going to be doing this show right beside his stall window so he can make comments, but I have to put him up because he wants to step on my feet and play with my hair and eat the microphone ball. So, no, buddy, you know you do that. Okay, let's get you in here. Here, have some hay. Let's eat. Okay. All right, last time I told you that life is about relationship, and I wondered if you'd considered that statement since. In this show, we're going to look at that a little bit deeper. And I told you, too, that we're all born alone, and essentially most of us will leave life that way. Between our births and our deaths is a universe of experience. We interact with life by making relationships with all things in it. A word here about these natural laws. There are some certainties in life. And two of these certainties are the existence of a power in the universe that my people call Great Mystery. We make no attempt to explain what that is. We call it Uniqua, or Great Mystery. And the existence of natural law. These laws, though you will not find them published anywhere in any book, but you will find them on my website at sequillycenter.org, are no secret. This is not a tribal secret. Anyone willing to look can see these laws in action, but not in the concrete canyons of the city or along the interstate. To see these requires some effort on your part and some time spent in the remote places and alone without the distractions of modernism. I can sit here at this computer and speak to you forever of these laws and other things that Native people know, and you will make choice as to whether you want to believe them as the truth or not. Personally, I had rather that you spend the time necessary to see for yourself and to make them yours through the insertion of your own effort. As I said earlier on, the viewpoints expressed here are those of a single individual Indian, that's myself, speaking of the things that I learned when I was a child and applied to my own life and my own path. They are part of my reality and a part of my personal relationship with mystery and all things and you, and I want you to know what they are. I want to share them with you. Now, here we go with the seven natural laws, people. The first is the law of cycles. Literally all of life is ruled by cycles. This idea, of course, is accepted by science as well, but that is neither taught nor looked upon as a part or an example of a much larger and more complex system that involves all things, whether animate or inanimate, from the smallest constituent of matter to the black hole, to your house cat, and to yourself. Though this law, as with all the others, is inescapable, modernism has, for the most part, robbed us of our aware participation in this law. On Earth, we humans are a symbiosis, an association with the planet and all that exists on it. As purportedly the most intelligent and mobile creatures here, though my own life experience makes me doubt that intelligence, we are charged with a special mission, and that is stewardship, the caretaking of Mother Earth and all the things on her. Every cycle of every being and every element of the earth is intertwined with all the others, just as these seven laws are, and we all need to become ever more aware of that and our responsibility. The next is the law of individuality. Put simply, all things are different, and that is where this law becomes very important and very complex. That all things are individual means that all things are unique. It is a widely held belief among Native people worldwide that mystery, or the Creator, created all things and is within all things. The concept is simple to see and to grasp. For example, suppose that you wanted to give a friend a gift, a pair of moccasins. You have a choice as to whether to buy them or make them. If you choose to buy them, then you have given your friend a pair of moccasins. If you have made them, then you have given your friend a piece of yourself. The same is true of Creator. That you are unique among human beings means more than just your looks. It also means your perceptions are different and unique. You see and assimilate and think uniquely and apply knowledge uniquely as well. This also means that everything about you and your interaction with life is important, both for yourself and for others. It is important also that your path and your relationships with all things in mystery be a unique expression of yourself, and that it be shared among others, as it is the way that new knowledge comes to the people. Now, we have 38 horses here at the center, inclusive of our four breeding stallions. Each one of them is an individual with a different horsenality. Though all our horses, each is a unique individual with something unique and new to teach us. And we allow them to do just that. Yeah, you do, buddy. They, like all things, have something to teach humanity. And one of the major things I have learned is to listen to them. The next is the law of change. Now, all things change. We know that, but we're reluctant to admit it, aren't we? Change is the driving force of life, evolution, and growth. Change is movement and growth, and it means that nothing is static. We live in a dynamic world. It is important to realize that humanity has the ability to change the shape of all things on the earth through the power of choice. We talked about that last session. There are always three choices in any decision-making process, and they are this, that, and choosing not to choose. Change means that every day is a different day, and every now is a different now, with all of the potentials and possibilities that life and the universe have to offer. One of the greatest lessons you will ever learn in your own individual life is to feign always the third choice, which is choosing not to choose. Be decisive. Lead a determined life. That is important beyond your wildest imaginings. Regardless of how dark or how bad things may be in the now or may look in the now, you have the divine right to change the next now in a profoundly positive way. Use it wisely and live consciously. Choice is the only true magic. In all of these laws, there are only two changeless things, and they are the truth and great mystery, which were before the beginning of time, are now, and will always be. Now we come to the law of place. Everything has a unique place. It is simply that every living thing on earth is new, both to the planet and time. In the case of you, there has never before been a you, and there never will be again. Your place, and that of others and all other things, can be defined as this: your own square foot of the universe. It is your place and your container for your perceptions, your uniqueness, your thoughts, and your relationships, and your power. Lay claim to it. Open it to others, or shut it down. It is yours to keep and to rule. The next is the law of twinness. Now, this one, a little bit hard to grasp. You have to think about it. Everything is two things. This is what we call, the Cherokee people, my people, call the fork tree teaching. Now, I want you to picture in your mind a tree with two forks. each bearing limbs and leaves and twigs. Imagine that the forks are duplicates of each other, and remember that a duplicate is not a reflection or a reverse image, okay? Label one of these forks the physical and the other spirit, and picture yourself as this tree, remembering that the forks are duplicates and not mirror images. Tell me which one of the forks is you. The fact is that they both are. You possess both a body, which is the physical fork, and a spirit, which is the spirit fork, and they are attached to the same trunk. The fork tree is both an ideal and a fact. Everything is two things, but those two things stem from the same trunk, so the two things are really only one thing, separate, but really together. The ideal here is that without the labels, you don't know which is which. The most important thing about this, at least to me, is that the fork tree teaches that all acts that we do in life are spiritual acts, regardless. When the spirit acts, so does the body, and vice versa. It means that care must be taken in the actions of living, with a constant awareness of the real ramifications of those actions. Remember the old Chinese saying that a stone cast into a still pool, the waves will reach all sides. Okay, the sixth of the natural laws is the law of interdependence. This is serious business, folks. All things are interdependent. As humans, we depend on plants for our breath and animals and plants for our food. Plants are dependent on animals for food and breath as well. It goes on and on. We are taught by the modern world to be independent when there is literally no such thing as independence. This is a circle dance, people. Life is a circle dance. Each individual circle dancing together within the greater circle of life, each moving and touching each other in the dance of living, each relating to the other, and each dependent upon the earth and each other for life and for living. This is the true meaning and the reason for the way we dance at powwow and why we dance, people. Dance, Native American people like me, when I go to a powwow and I dance, I'm praying. This is a moving prayer and a moving thank offering for me to go to a powwow and dance with other people, because it's truly an honor for me to do that. And for what it's worth, for those of you who do dance that listen to me here at the powwows, I'm an old styler, and I've been an old styler for the last 45 years, okay? You know, the dance arena that we use at a powwow is circular, and that circular dance arena represents the earth and the universe and all things in it, okay? And when we're out there dancing together, we're dancing as individuals, and under the same auspices as natural law, we're dancing as individuals. And we turn and touch and play together in that circle. And the reason we do that is because we know that all things are connected together in an intertwined, magnificent, and beautiful order under natural and spiritual law, and that all things are related. The man next to me in that dance circle, or the woman, or the child in front of me at that dance circle, is my little brother and little sister, or my brother and sister. And that's just the way it is. That's how we feel, and that's how we feel about each other. We may not even know each other, but the fact of the matter is we know we're connected. Now, the last and the seventh natural law, and this one is going to require a lot of thought on your part, but it's true, people. That's the law of synergy. Now, synergy is a word that gets bandied about, and it's a word I used when I translated these laws from my own language into English. It's the best word I could come up with for that translation, was synergy. Synergy is the result achieved when natural forces interact in harmony and balance with each other. Now, in the physical science, a balance of forces produces stasis, but we're not dealing with physical science here. We're dealing with life, a dynamic of life force, and nothing in life is static. Everything moves, okay? Everything moves, everything changes, and everything grows, okay? These are all dynamic forces. When in balance and working in harmony with each other, they produce another energy, a third energy that was never there before. And that energy is what we call synergy. And it is a new force or an energy. Now, the synergy is always greater than the sum of the forces that interact to produce it. And that synergistic force, which supplies energy that is necessary for the continuity of the creative process in the universe. Now, a lot of times, I use examples when I do these talks with horses and humans. Well, horses are my life, and the relationship of humans and horses is a very big part of my existence. And so I use that as an example. And in the terms of the horse-human relationship, the synergy marks the difference between riding on a horse and riding with one. And there's a marked difference, trust me. Horses live under the auspices and dictates of natural law. They are natural beings and an integral part of their own environment. Humans, however, we have chosen to live artificially and no longer subscribe to the tenets of natural law. What our horses do naturally, we find difficult for us, and mostly because of our artificial lifestyles, okay? To understand fully the nature of horses and further our relationship with them, we need to understand the dynamics of natural law and how they relate to us and our horses. That is a step towards fully understanding ourselves as well. Our first reactions as humans, whether with horses or not, needs to evolve from fear and doubt to love and acceptance. Now, that's the way my people have lived for thousands and thousands of years. It's acceptance first and understanding later. Your relationship should always be based on love and not fear. Only in this way can your horse teach you about himself, and you in turn teach him about you. And this is just as true for humans. Remember, there is nothing more fulfilling than your relationship with your horse and that unity. That unity is the first goal and the first step in true communications with your horse. Now, I use horses and equine-human relationships as examples, but understand that the horse is also symbolically to us, Native American people, represents new ways. And what I have found is just as applicable to human beings as it is to humans and horses. We must in time come to an understanding of why it is that our first reactions to each other as nations of people, two nations of people, and even to each other on the street is always fear. I know a few who would disagree that change from this precept of the modern era is necessary. Change always begins in a small way, people, with an idea and a teaching and a reaching out of one person to another. I can't change the fear-based precepts upon which we have built our modern governments and political regimes. But we can, and by our own love and our own wills and by our own choice, do it together. History cannot be changed, but the future definitely can and should be. Okay, the comfort, let's go and put you back out with Tammy and the rest of them. And folks, me and Techie will see you next week. Thank you for listening. The preceding program has been a production of WNDN Net Radio. WNDN Net Radio is operated under a Creative Commons non-commercial attributions, no derivatives license. You may reproduce and redistribute our netcasts, and we hope you do. All music featured on our programming is, unless otherwise stated, courtesy of the contributing artists and staff of PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. WNDN wants to hear from you. Drop us an email at FUBAR, that is FUBAR, at mm.st, or give us a call at area code 206-888-1763. That's 206-888-1763. And leave us a message. Who knows? You may be on the next show. Thanks for listening to WNDN Net Radio.